And Kathy Dosnell, along with Manhattan Fire Deputy Chief Ryan Alms. We welcome him today. And I want to mention those phone numbers again. You never know. Someone may like to call in. 537-1350, toll-free, 866-776-1350. I know you were busy with the fire this morning, but before we get to that, I wanted to compliment you again on the work that your firefighters did with the Dusty Bookshelf fire of a couple weeks back. Incredible. I've heard nothing but praise for the way that thing was handled, and it could have been a lot worse.
Well, thank you, Kathy. It was a major fire for us. That Aggieville area has been an area where we've had quite a few large fires. Back to 1998, we had the Bombers building in the 1100 block of Morrow, and then in 2003, we had a fire at Aggie Station. And the fire at Aggie Station was a lot like the fire that we had at the Dusty Bookshelf. And the fact that our crews were able to get inside and make some progress. And then these older buildings, they have a lot of concealed spaces. And the fire was able to gain a handle in that concealed space. And, it got to the point where it was just too dangerous and we had to pull our crews out. But very, very proud of our people that morning. They did a really good job of containing it to the building of origin. I heard from a lot of people around the state that said oftentimes in downtown areas of communities, you get a fire like that and you're not able to keep it to that building. You know, it tends to spread through places where there were holes in firewalls and that sort of thing. And that morning we were very fortunate. We were able to keep it to that building, and Varsity Donuts right next door was able to open 2 days later, which was a big success for us.
And as you mentioned, I'm glad you mentioned the year 2003. I knew there was another bad one down there since my time here. In fact, I've been here just a couple years when that one happened. That was, I think, on a Friday morning, possibly, because I remember Senator Olean was in to do a talk, and she ended up just fetching coffee for everybody. I don't think she even got on the air except maybe to say something about the fire, but that was a crazy day, too.
That was a fire that was found by somebody doing a delivery that morning, and our crews went in on that fire in 2003 and thought they had the fire extinguished in it, and it happened to be there were multiple attic spaces. And it extended in one of those attic spaces, and unfortunately, we ended up losing that building that morning. So, but once again, thankfully, nobody was hurt in fighting that fire.
Well, and you say thankfully no one was hurt, and you were pretty honest about that. You had some firefighters in there up until, I mean, you got them out in time, but it was pretty close.
We were monitoring the conditions very closely that morning. We always want to make sure our firefighters are safe, especially in a building that is not occupied. The flip side of that is the best way to get that fire out is to have people inside operating to extinguish the fire, because once we go to a defensive position, we're going to lose that entire building. And there was about 5 minutes from the time that we pulled crews out and fire came through the roof, and then the roof collapsed shortly thereafter.
And plus, you found time to talk to the media. I don't know how you managed to do that. It was very helpful because we were getting flooded with phone calls here. You called the station. You also talked to our reporter, Brady Bowman, who was sending stuff out live. And it's incredible you were able to manage that all at the same time.
Well, it worked out well that we have an on-call chief for the fire department, and we have a battalion chief that was on. And I was on that night as the on-call chief. And we started having help show up about the time in the morning when we started getting the media to show up. And so I was able to kind of switch roles and help get the word out about what was going on down there.
That means an awful lot. And I know sometimes you probably would rather not have to deal with this, but it does mean a lot. Otherwise, rumors get going. Of course, everyone was worried about Oliver the cat, and that worked out okay, too. But
we enjoy sharing the story with everyone. It's just it just depends on whether or not we have enough people to free someone up and do that. So.
Very good. Well, do appreciate all the help there. And, of course, the difference from the year 2003, everything is so immediate now compared to then.
It is. It was pretty amazing when I got a chance to actually check social media that morning, just how much information was out there. And the Associated Press had called very, very, very early in the fire. So that's just unusual.
We had a couple hundred thousand hits on Brady's live FaceTiming of the whole thing. So it was interesting. Well, moving along, you were already busy this morning. Apparently had a fire on Patricia Place, I believe. And luckily that one turned out to mean there was some interior damage you had mentioned.
Yeah, we got dispatched to 2155 Patricia Place this morning just after 6 a.m. We arrived on scene and the deck of a mobile home was on fire with fire extending inside. And there was also a motorcycle that was catching fire. And there was the interesting thing about the call, and especially if anyone saw it, there was a propane bottle for a grill that was on the deck, and it was discharging and making quite a racket. But fire crews were able to get the fire knocked down in about 15 minutes, and there's considerable damage to the home. We're estimating $20,000. It was a 1995 Schult mobile home, and the damage was to the outside, and then it extended inside, and then there was some fire that burned underneath into the floor, and so they had to pull the skirting and all the insulation off underneath underneath it. We were able to determine a cause this morning. It was a cigarette was put into a plastic fire pot on the deck, and with these dry and windy conditions, it's very easy for that kind of fire to get started and take a hold.
So it wasn't from grilling. It was from
nope,
a cigarette.
Nope. The okay. grill was there. The grill did catch fire, but it was from a cigarette this morning.
Good to know. We did have someone inquire about the fire hydrant situation out in that area, and I guess there's some concerns that way.
That's an interesting area of town, and the fact that we don't have that portion of the mobile home park doesn't have any fire hydrants in it. And that's not uncommon in a mobile home park. Sometimes they're in there and they're private, and sometimes they're around the exterior. Well, in this particular portion, the nearest hydrants are over in Northeast Park and on the West End. And so there are a few places in there where the distance from a fire hydrant is almost 2,000 feet. And each one of our fire engines carries 900 feet of supply hose. So it's a real decision for us in that area as to whether or not we are going to try and just use tank water. We have 500 gallons on each of our apparatus, or and just supply from one apparatus to the other, or if we're going to try to lay out multiple apparatus. And this morning they did lay out one completely, and then another one they were going to when they got the fire extinguished and realized they didn't need any more water. But it is a little unique area of town. That's the only area of town where we have structures that are more than 1,000 feet from a fire hydrant.
I did overhear something on the scanner, something about protecting the fire line or something. So that must be what you were talking about at the time.
Yeah, when they lay out that much supply hose, they've got to ask Riley County Police Department or get somebody to block off the road so nobody runs over that line for us.
Of course, I guess Riley County Fire has to deal with that all the time, and Pottawatomie County Rural, too. I mean, that's kind of the way it works when you're...
And both of those departments have the ability to bring water. They have tankers and tenders that they bring water. And so we're pretty spoiled in the city of Manhattan because we have a really good water system. And there just are a few areas, and that being the one area that they're over 1,000 feet where water is just not as good as the other areas.
I did chat briefly this morning with Riley County Fire Chief Pat Collins, and it sounds like they had a very busy weekend, and he was going to be presenting to the commission, might be as I speak, but we hopefully by noon we'll have more information on that. But sounded like they really had their hands full this weekend.
We were out twice to help them this weekend. On Saturday, they had a structure fire on Harwood Drive, which is down off of Zinedale Road, and we assisted them with a 20 by 40 outbuilding that had caught fire. And then yesterday, one of the control burns from Saturday morning reignited on the backside of Stag Hill, which is an area of town where we're at least aware of because we do have houses that are really close to some timber. And so some of that fire was down at the bottom of the hill and wasn't very close to structures. But with the kind of conditions we've had, it's something we're at least paying attention to. And we had a couple units out yesterday assisting
as well.
What
were winds yesterday? I was on a motorcycle coming back from Lawrence, so I felt like they were pretty breezy.
I checked in the afternoon, and the humidity was about 29%, which humidity has a really big effect on fire conditions. And the humidity was around 29%. And I think the wind was right around 30 with gusts of 40 in the afternoon. So that can create very erratic fire behavior, as obviously we've seen around the state.
And I guess getting more generally, in fact, as you say, the state's been so hard hit. And you helped. That's the other thing I wanted to talk to you about today. You helped out with that quite a bit, too.
We did. We were contacted through the state. We have the state has a way to ask for resources, and we were contacted to provide a engine and a crew of four. And we sent people down on Tuesday, and our assignment was to cover the city of Hutchison during the day while their firefighters could get some rest. So there were people out fighting the fire north of town. The Hutchison firefighters went home and got some rest. And then Wichita Fire and us for that day covered the city. Our people were fortunate. They only ran a couple calls inside the city of Hutchison, but it was nice to be able to go and help them out.
There has to be kind of camaraderie and maybe a kind of a neat chance to network with. I mean, and it's horrible conditions, of mm-hmm. course, but it has to be great to be able to work together.
And we've been able to do that a couple times for a couple different communities. And so it's always interesting. Our people go out there to an area they're not very familiar with. And I'm sure they were using their phones with figuring out Google Maps on where to go when they did receive an alarm. But, yeah, it was very nice to be able to go and help out. And the list that Hutchison Fire released to the number of agencies that helped was just unreal. There were so many people from around the state there and Ashland that committed resources to help out.
Google Maps, another advancement since that really does help out in other ways too. Well, I guess we really should do some warnings because things are so dry right now. I know we're hoping for some rain midweek, but just suggestions for people out there right now. I'm sure you have all kinds of tips and suggestions.
Well, this time of year, we're getting close with things are starting to green up and hopefully we'll get some rain. But there's some very basic things that people can do, especially if they live in an area that we call the wildland-urban interface. That would be the area of town where you're starting to get to the edges and you have grass that's coming up to your house or you have timber that comes up to the back of your house. And one of the things you can do is you can make sure that you mow your yard short. It's getting time to be watering. We're starting to see things green up, so that would help. But some of the things you can do is create some defensible space around your house. One of the things that creates an issue for us is if people have cedar trees that come right up to the back of a home. And so any amount of space that they can give to separate those cedar trees from or any kind of timber for that matter from the house is helpful. There's some recommendations not to have any within 30 feet and then even up to 100 feet to make sure that there is some space. Another thing that you can do is to create islands of vegetation, and so that you eliminate a big, wide area of vegetation so that you only have a pocket. So it's less likely to go just spread treetop to treetop, and instead it will catch a smaller area on fire if you did happen to have a fire approach that. And we do have some areas in town, Stag Hill being one of them, the area around Tattarax Hills, and then areas around the Colbert Hills Golf Course where we do have, and then even to the south of there, where we do have a lot of grass and timber that come right up to the back of homes. So definitely something to think about this time of year and keep an eye on. And then, of course, anytime that somebody sees a fire this time of year in these conditions, report that. I know today there is some agricultural burning allowed in Riley County. But it never hurts to check to make sure that if you do see smoke, that it is a controlled burn and not something that's gotten out of control.
And cedar in particular, you need to be careful about.
Cedar trees are just amazing. It takes a lot to get them going, but when it's dry like this and they take off, it's just amazing. They put off so many BTUs. You can be hundreds of feet away and feel the heat that comes off them when they burn. And so very easy for them to throw embers up and hundreds of yards away, drop embers and start another fire, which is one of the reasons that when they get burning, it becomes such a concern.
And I mean, they might be beautiful. I mean, there's something, the smell and the looks of them, but not close to the house.
And that's really the thing. And I know a lot of people like that very wilderness feel when you walk outside and you have that privacy that it affords. But this time of year, creating that defensible space around your property is very important.
And as you said, just a single cigarette even can cause an issue,
yep.
As just occurred this morning. That's good to know.
It seems like every year we have a discarded smoking fire, at least one or two, a deck, dry conditions, windy. We see the same thing. And so it's very real. A lot of people don't realize that's still a normal fire cause, but we do see quite a few a year.
Dave wanted to add a little something on the other
and
side.
This is going to kind of take a little bit of a different direction here. But let's talk a little bit about the efforts. You had a few folks, and you set a fire truck down around Hutchison. And, you know, I know that there was a plea for a lot of fire departments to do that. Can you share some of the experiences that your crews had down there?
Well, when they were down there, they were assigned to the main fire station, our one engine, and we ran with Squad or Quint 21 from Wichita, and those were the only two units covering the city of Wichita. And during the day, they said they had two calls for service, and both of them turned out to be false alarms. One of them was a call for a structure fire. And so it's obviously a very different environment being in someone else's community and not knowing exactly where you're going. And then on top of that, you're operating with people who may operate a little bit different with you, and you don't have the resources coming to help you like you would normally have at home. So it's an experience for those guys, but our people are very willing to go and do it. And during the flooding, well, we sent people up around the Atchison area to assist up there. I think that was 3 or 4 years ago. And then we've been to Topeka to help cover the city of Topeka before, I believe, when they had a firefighter funeral going on. So it is something we've done before, but it's definitely different than normal operations.
Is that something that, you know, those guys and gals find really to be rewarding to work outside of their own community?
Absolutely, and we put out a call for people to go, and we immediately filled that spot to send people down there. People want to go. They want to help. And on the flip side, we as a community want to offer our assistance because we know someday we may be on the other end and asking for it.
So it's a volunteer type of thing.
It's a where we get the call is not, and then we pay our people when they're going down there. So.
Okay. Very good. Well, yeah, I figured you'd pay them, but they'd say, hey, I'd like to go. Okay, very good to know that. And my own hometown, Atchison, I hadn't realized you'd helped out in that location. Well, before we wrap up, less than a minute, Ryan, anything else you're wanting to kind of emphasize today while we have you here?
Well, I never like to talk and not mention smoke detectors. Continue to see across the country people die in home fires and that they don't have working smoke detectors. They're so cheap. Batteries are very cheap. Make sure that you put them in. We tell people put them in every bedroom, outside of every bedroom, and on every level of the home. And the other thing that's really important is to shut your bedroom door at night. We see this. We go to a fire, and that simple shutting of the door can protect occupants from smoke and fire. And every time we go to a fire at night, people will say the same thing. They can't believe how fast it happened. They can't believe how close it was that they barely got out. And so those two things, shut your bedroom door and make sure that you have smoke detectors installed and working.
Been a pleasure to have you. And again, kudos for all your efforts with the Hutchinson Fire as well as Dusty Bookshelf and some of the different things you've been doing that way. Deputy Chief Manhattan Fire Department Ryan Alms with us today. You've been listening to In Focus.
And I'd like to say thanks, Ryan, for helping us out with a lot of information the morning of that fire down in Aggieville.
You're
certainly
welcome.
Appreciate the cooperative efforts that you and your crew provide us. News Radio KMAN tomorrow, Manhattan City Manager Ron Fear and Mayor Yusha Reddy to join us on KMAN. And a reminder, K-State women's basketball coverage begins at 5. Tip-off from Bramley to the NCAA tournament against Stanford is today at 5:30.
When it comes to shopping, there's no place like home. That's why your local Carpet One of Manhattan encourages you to keep your business in the community. KMAN, Manhattan.